The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, the weather this summer has been pretty miserable, but why do we make ourselves feel worse by watching miserable TV shows? Stuff like The Bear and Baby Reindeer. Joining me now is the Dublin-based psychotherapist Maxine Walsh, movies editor as well at entertainment.ie, Brian Lloyd. Brian, why do we love misery so much?
Well, we were just only complaining off air about it being too warm around Dublin. And
yeah, see, I think the three of us enjoyed giving out about the weather off air.
I'd say it's probably empathy that we want to empathise in our misery. I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist, but like, I would think it's an idea of, well, when it comes to films and television and whatever, I think the idea is that we want to experience those emotions vicariously. And I have a psychiatrist in front of me here and I'm like, am I saying this right? Is this correct? But I think that's why it is. We want to kind of experience these things vicariously. So if it's horror, if it's a thriller, if it's action, even if it's funny or something like that, we want to laugh with them. We want to feel that emotion. Because our own lives can be sometimes quite stale. Let's not be honest about it.
Oh, God, don't reveal the reality of our miserable lives, Brian, to the listener. Is he right, Maxine?
I think it's probably, there's a few reasons why we love misery.
Right.
Okay, so, I mean, of course, the first one is, yes, escapism from our own lives. When we're sitting looking at somebody else's life fall apart, maybe we get a little bit of a thrill out of it. But I think as well, as human beings, we're voyeurs. If you notice, whenever there's an accident on the M50, there's always a backlog of traffic the other way because everybody wants to have a little look.
Okay.
But there's some more complex reasons. It can also soothe our anxiety because if we're looking at, you know, a murder mystery or, you know, something really awful happening to somebody, what we're doing subconsciously is picking up tips on how to prevent that from happening to us.
Okay. So we're getting little bits of life advice.
Yeah.
Without even realising it.
Exactly.
How to not befriend a serial killer.
Yes.
Anyone who speaks a Scandinavian language, I mean, they're out in my books, you know.
You're already kind of looking for the door. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the downside to it as well. I mean, I am a big fan of all of those shows. Like, I could even be an addict. But the downside when you saturate yourself a little bit too much with those shows, you're walking around thinking everybody's a serial killer. You know,
so the anxiety, the kind of as a relief to anxiety, it only works in smaller doses, is it? As in you
Absolutely.
Kind of reach a tipping point and actually no longer is it helping your anxiety, it amplifies it.
Yeah, exactly.
So okay.
you're gonna have to temper it with some more lighthearted programs on TV if you can find them, because I know the dark stuff is very popular at the moment.
Has it always been popular from a TV point of view, Brian? Because the reason we're talking about this is there's this kind of sense of I've had enough, I need to check out, you know, stop telling me to watch The Bear, I find it too stressful.
Well, no, The Bear is the one that people kind of seem to come back to. I mean, yes, the first season of it was very stressy and it was about the main character's anxiety and all the rest of it, but the second and third season are a lot more kind of broader and all the rest of it. I don't necessarily know if it's all, I mean, you go back all the way to, I don't know, Columbo in the 70s and, you know, someone was getting murdered every single week, like, you know, that kind of way. So it's not necessarily that shows, that it's not necessarily that there's a sudden glut of darker stuff. I think it's more that it's the darker stuff that people are kind of gravitating to, you know, that kind of way. Like, I think shows are more, in TV, they're more willing to go to more extreme places as opposed to just sort of kind of comfortable murder mysteries like your Columbos or like your Poirot or like your whatever. Now you have stuff like The Fall. Now you have stuff like, take your pick, really. You know, that kind of way. There are so many shows out there now that have this very kind of, very dark, very extreme kind of attitude. And I think that's primarily because there's so many of them now. It's like one is trying to outdo the other, you know, that kind of way, like that they're trying to kind of reach the next point. Like, so, yeah.
Is this just the TV version, Maxine, of the biggest section in the local bookshop being the crime section?
I think so. I mean, it's just really popular at the moment. We have all the book charts. We have the podcast charts, you know. That's
true crime. People love it.
Crime.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Always top. It's always in the top 10 of the books. But as well as that, I think we also have a higher tolerance for it because of social media. Because we don't even have to watch the news now or read true crime books or podcasts. Mm. It's on our news feeds, and we are exposed to way more of the details of these very true life crimes than we would have been previously.
Those true crime podcasts, well, they focus not so much, well, sorry, this is a sweeping generalization, but a lot of the times not so much even on the crime itself, but rather the criminal.
Yes.
Like there's a, what's that in us that, that finds people who commit these awful acts so fascinating?
Again, I think it's our need to protect ourselves and need to protect our families. I think it's, if you look at the demographics for people who listen to those podcasts, it's usually people who have children. And, you know, we all want to keep ourselves safe and keep our kids safe. But there's a tipping point where I think that might get a little bit too much. And we really are walking around with a very skewed view of the world. Mm. I can't sit here and say that the world is a safe place. But I think if you immerse yourself too much in that kind of media, you're going to be walking around thinking it's far more dangerous than it actually is.
I wonder, are there kind of individual tipping points as well for people? I can't watch something, I've struggled maybe a bit more if it involves kids being killed.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like, you know, was it the end of the first season of The Bridge where your man, the child is killed? Kind of giving it away there now. Sorry
but
for people
that
watch
it.
It's been out a while.
Yeah.
Wasn't it The Bridge where he's kind of locked in and they don't get to him in time and he suffocates? And the John Connolly books as well, like the very first book, it's the family are killed and the kid. That immediately, like, and I will read absolutely any kind of crime book.
Right.
But after that, I was like, I think, sorry, John, you're hugely successful, but I'm done with you. Can't be dealing with dead kids.
It's probably, I mean, I defer to the expert in the room, but I would imagine a lot of it is that, like, if you have children yourself, you're kind of, you're seeing them in that story and you're not able to do it. You can't get to that point, you know, that kind of way. Like, I mean, I personally, funny you say that about, you know, it's a protective thing where people are so interested in finding out the secret. I think it's just people want to know why they're like that. Like, and the thing that I always go to would be Zodiac, where Jake Gyllenhaal's character just becomes obsessed with trying to find out who the Zodiac is and spends the entire film. Mm. And in the end, the final shot in that film is as he goes into this little paint shop or whatever. And it's years after the fact, and Zodiac hasn't killed people in years. But he just stares at the guy and looks at him, and then there's a kind of a recognition. He turns around and walks out the door. It's that idea of, he just has to look him in the eye. He has to know who he is. I think I would have thought that's the reason why people are so interested, because they want to know what it is. Maybe not necessarily that they can, I mean, yes, but the protective thing is probably a thing, but I think it's just, we want to be know, because it's that thing of like street angel, house devil. Like, I mean, we could live next door to a serial killer. We could live next door to somebody like that and we'll never know who they are. Mm. So if we can kind of find some sort of connective tissue, then it's like, oh, that's what it is. Or like they constantly kill their animals. Their animals kept dying around them. That's got to be
exactly
it. Like
the Ted Bundy thing. That's always a giveaway sign,
but like, I mean, that was the whole thing about Ted Bundy, was that no one knew who he was. No one would have guessed it, like.
Yeah.
He had this.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddy.
With the MG hybrid and electric range.
Weekdays from 4.
So I assume from a kind of a TV production point of view, ultimately these are just kind of product. Everyone works in sales, as they say.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they're looking for a product that they can sell from a TV point of view. And I'm sure they're conscious of those things as well. Like I mentioned the dead kid thing, they're like, right. This kind of narrows our target audience slightly, and whether it's how much that will kind of determine how much they're willing to invest in it and everything.
No, definitely. Like, I mean, obviously true crime at the minute is having a moment and what have you, and like you said it there, you know, the books and the podcasts and TV shows and movies and all the rest of it. There will come a time when it will hit saturation point and people won't be as interested in it anymore. It's the same with Westerns, the same with superhero movies. Eventually, the culture and the zeitgeist will just move on to something else. Whatever that is, I don't know. But, you know, like in the 70s, you had all these like political conspiracy movies. Like you had All the President's Men, you had the Parallax View, and you had, you know, the Assassination Bureau and all this kind of stuff. And then we see now with Trump nearly getting whacked out over the weekend, you could very easily see in the next like 5, 6, 7 years, movies about, you know, political conspiracies and assassinations and all this kind of stuff. So I think we are currently in a true crime glut. I would imagine it will change in the next few years.
Maxine, what do you watch then for a bit of escapism?
I'm struggling to try and think of something lighthearted that I might watch. Probably stand-up comedians or something like
that. Oh, yeah? But, YouTube shorts of stand-up comedians, yeah. Just flicking through them.
Absolutely, but I mean, I love it. I love the true crime. I love The Handmaid's Tale, anything dystopian like that. I'm a huge fan of anything like that.
Brian? But
I do limit myself.
I just watch reruns of Seinfeld. That's my kind of comfort.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Don't yeah, Brian. Fine. Like, just stick it on. It's 30 minutes. Yeah, everyone has a laugh at Kramer. Go home.
US Office. It's my go-to.
That's it. Yeah, everyone has a comfort watch. Yeah, just, everybody has a comfort watch.
Flicking through. You've spent 15 minutes flicking through the menus on Netflix and you haven't
taken it. Right. Get, yeah.
Stick on the US. I don't care what episode.
Yeah, put that's it. On. It's like my food's getting cold. I just want to eat.
That was the Dublin-based psychotherapist Maxine Walsh, movies editor at entertainment.ie, Brian Lai. Thank you both.